Boris Johnson, goodness me, Boris Johnson will be standing without a leadership vote triggered at the end of Tuesday. What, this, will he be standing? Will he be standing, or will there be a leadership battle? Who knows? Dr. Keith Souter from Global Directions joins me. Hello, Keith. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well, thanks, Fred.
Look, this Sue Gray's, what are they calling it, Partygate, the report has just made things worse for Boris Johnson, hasn't it? Do you think by the end of the week that we'll still have Boris Johnson as the Prime Minister in the UK?
Well, he's obviously determined to hang on to the job. My father, who knew him, because he was a local MP, warned me that you should never underestimate him. He spent his life trying to become Prime Minister. He's now made it, though I think he's finding the job a little more difficult than he'd first anticipated. He's got the major COVID crisis, and he's got Ukraine, and he's got all the domestic worries as well, this so-called levelling up, where they want to put more money, particularly into the former Labour seats, which the Conservatives got at the last general election when Boris Johnson scored such a stunning victory. So he's got a huge number of issues. So he's having to weigh out really whether or not he wants to continue. You need to have 54 members of Parliament write to the chair of the 1922 committee. In the year 1922, Conservative backbenchers rebelled and decided to seek a new Prime Minister, and that committee has continued. It's a sort of the trade union of backbenchers, and it's named after that year in which they got rid of the Prime Minister and inserted a new Conservative one. So he will need to receive 54 letters requesting that there be a vote of no confidence in him. Boris Johnson has the right to stand, and of course, you know, Theresa May has been one of those very critical of Boris Johnson. She was the previous Prime Minister. She got defeated in this very same process. So it is going to be very interesting to see how it works out. Now, Boris is trying to focus more attention on the international issues, such as Ukraine. And as we speak, he's been in Kiev meeting the president of Ukraine. So he's trying to remind people that there are international issues beyond the holding of parties during the so-called COVID lockdown.
But like Australian politics, we're more concerned about text messages that prime ministers and you know, premiers supposedly have sent or have received. So, I mean, I see that there are 300 photographs that have been handed to police as part of their investigation into these Partygate allegations. How damaging is this?
Well, this is very interesting because in early December, the police were asked, are you going to investigate these alleged offences, and the police said at that time no, because they're obviously such low-level offences. Even if people are found guilty, no one's going to go to jail, right? So that, you know, we're talking about crimes that will carry a fine rather than a custodial, a prison sentence. So the police said no, we're not going to get involved. It's a political issue. We want to avoid political issues. But then I found it intriguing that Dame Cressida Dick, the commissioner at Scotland Yard, Dame Cressida herself, said, we will investigate this. Now, this has complicated the Sue Gray investigation. So Sue Gray is the most senior civil servant you've never heard of, and she is one of the components of the deep state, and she is the one who's been carrying out this investigation, which she has now completed. But the police have said, we may need your evidence to help us with our inquiries. So suddenly, the Sue Gray report, which was originally going to be published in full, has now only been published in summary fashion. She's still made it a very hard-hitting report, bearing in mind this is a woman who used to run a hotel in Northern Ireland, and she's complaining about the level of alcohol being consumed at 10 Downing Street. Good on you, Sue. We'll make a Methodist of her yet. So, so for me, there's a bit of irony that, that you've got a former hotel owner who's complaining about alcohol consumption. And it really is a very unpleasant picture, which is presented even in the summary report. And remember, we get the funeral of the Duke of Edinburgh, that awful photo of the Queen sitting alone at the funeral service of her husband. And the day before, we'd had civil servants in 10 Downing Street sending out people with the suitcases to bring in more alcohol. So it's great. You're right. It's a small issue compared with Ukraine and thousands of people dying through COVID. But you're right, it's the small issues that bring people down rather than the really big ones. And of course, Richard Nixon would say much the same about Watergate.
Absolutely.
And
I suppose Bill... oh, gosh, I've forgotten his name. How quickly. But Bill Clinton. I was going to say Bill Gates. I was going to say Bill Gates. Bill Clinton would feel exactly the same way about small things almost bringing you down.
Because this is what the electorate can remember, right? The electorate can't get their head around Ukraine. They're confused about COVID. But they do understand that a government that creates rules to restrict social gatherings, church attendances, funerals, etc., and then have their own civil servants ignore them in the Prime Minister's official residence, they do understand that. And that's what makes people very angry indeed.
It does. I've got to leave you there. Thank you so much for making your time available, as always. It's a delight and a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Brent.
Dr. Keith Souter from Global Directions. Well, it will be interesting. Will Boris make the end of the week as the UK Prime Minister?